Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this praise that we can share this with Jeanette, our sister in the Lord, another one that we love, Lord, and you love with your everlasting love. Father, we ask that you speak to us through your Spirit, through your word now tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard the expression, haven't you? You are what you eat. It's been around for a while. You are what you eat. Well, let me add to that from tonight's text, maybe. You are what you worship. You are what you worship. Verse 8 of our text tonight tells us, those who make them idols become like them idols. So do all who trust in them. So let me change them for idols. Those who make idols become like idols. So do all who trust in idols. We are what we worship, or we become what we worship. Enter the mockers. Those who worshiped idols were taunting the followers of the one true God with the question, where is their God? Now, not them asking about theirs, but they were pointing at the children of Israel. And as they were pointing the finger, and just like mockers like to do, mockers like to set us on our heels. And if you know some, and it's always have that in mind, know what they're up to. They're not really up to finding truth. They're not up to a logical presentation. What they want to do is they want to put you back on your heels so they can force their way on you. Okay, mockers mock. Those who worshiped idols were taunting the followers of the one true God with that question, well, where is their God? What do mockers do? They mock. Tonight, we expose the underbelly of the mockers. See, here's the thing that we have. Here's what we have. We have everything that they do, every scheme that they have, every plan. It was this one football, it was a show, it was a comedy, but it was about football. And the one guy, he was always beating the other guy because he had his playbook. Now, if we are smart and wise about it, if we are letting God have our attention, if we are hearing God and receiving his words, we will see right through these things. And we're going to see tonight. You'll see this isn't just something I'm fluffing out there. We're going to see right in our text. We exposes the underbelly, exposes their motivation, exposes their end, exposes who they are. So when they mock, when they point to us, say, well, where's your God? Well, wait till you see the answer that we have for them. And what about the person then, not only that can respond with that answer, but the person, the man or the woman, who completely believes that truth? Would you turn in your Bibles now to Psalm 119, verse 1, if you're not already there. Psalm 119, not 119, 115. So used to going to 119. 115, verse 1. Psalm 119... It must be the prophet Daryl's telling. 115, verse 1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Do you believe that? See, when that is our... when we're consumed with that, when this is the God, when God has our attention enough, we are living his words. We are in that right place before God. That when we say, when they say, well, where's your God? And when we say, our God is in heaven, and basically here it's saying, and he is sovereign Lord, we believe that. See, the mocker, they can try to push us back. They can try to, you've talked to people like that. They try to say something to get you on your heels, to just kind of distract you so they can have their way, whether it's just a conversation, whether they're trying to sell something to you, whatever it might be. We've got the goods on them. If we're listening to God, mockers may mock, but our God is the sovereign Lord, worthy of all glory. To you, Lord, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to you, your name belong the glory. Now, when we think of these mockers and they're coming or saying, where is your God? Does that sound like anything? Does that remind you of any New Testament text? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Good thing there's not a 2 Peter 1:19. I probably would have. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Peter writes to them, this is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Now, would you stop there for a second? Our verse that we're getting to is verse 3, but we want to see these two verses before. Peter's basically telling them, he said, I want to stir your mind up, and that's what I'm trying to do tonight, really. To stir our minds up. Well, really, it was what I was trying to do this morning, too. To stir our minds up to what we have in Jesus Messiah. What we have in a relationship with Son of God who came to earth. And we need this stirring up. That's why it is so good to read the Bible and keep reading it and read it again and read it again, because we will see these things. And they're almost, unless we've memorized the verse, they're almost always sharper, and they go into us deeper when we're reading it and we see the words that are right there. And Peter's saying, I want to stir your minds up. You're sincere. Peter says, you're sincere. He said, you're authentic. But we all need reminded that you should remember the predictions or the prophecies of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Now, I like this so much in the New American Standard that I put it in my notes so I could read it. In verse 3 in New American Standard, know this first of all, that in the last day, mockers will come with their mocking. Mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. They will say, a different way of saying it, but kind of saying the same thing. Where is your God? Where's your God? They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Where is your... Aren't you one of those people who believe in Jesus? Where's your God? He's not here yet, is he? See, they're trying to put us back on our heels. They're trying to get us to apologize for this hope, the blessed hope that we have. No, we don't let them do that. We don't let them. We listen to God more than the mockers. That's the key. And the key to listening to God is making sure we're hearing him, making sure this vessel's clean and pure and sincerely wants to hear him, and will live those words out. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are as continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Look, you Christians, it's been 2,000 years. Come on, where is your God? Where is, what's their words here? Where is the promise of his coming? No, we don't, it's never, never about pride. Not human pride, not spiritual pride, but we never should let them have the upper hand, because bowed before the throne of God. Well, let me just, we're in Peter there. Let's just back to 1 Peter. Let's go to chapter 5, and it's a familiar text to cast all your cares. But before it gets to cast all your cares, it tells us something very important. In verse 5. It says, likewise, you who, 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. See, that is the place of power. Not our spiritual pride, not intellectual pride, not Bible knowledge pride, but bowed before the mighty hand of God. And folks, when we're there, the spiritual insight we have, the spiritual courage we have, the mocker, it's just like mockers and they're shooting arrows and it's a Sherman tank and the arrows are bouncing off the metal of the tank. And we laugh and God laughs. And then the verse comes, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. See, that humbling ourselves before God, seeing his mighty hand, we can trust that mighty hand then. We cast all our cares, but that's really a different message. So let's go back to Psalm 115. Why should the nations say, in verse 3, where is their God? We answer, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Mockers may mock, but our God is sovereign Lord, worthy of all glory. Secondly, mockers may mock, but they expose the darkness of their foolish hearts by what they worship. Now, this is pretty powerful, verses 4 to 8. Their idols, now we're talking about the nations, we're talking about anyone who that is opposed to the followers of God, whether it's at this time believers in Jesus Christ or at that time the Jewish followers. Their idols, now the pagans, are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. You are what you eat, and you are what you worship. You see what it's saying here? The handmade gods, whatever form that takes, and it's any god that's not the God of the Bible. It's any salvation plan that doesn't go through Jesus Christ to the Father. It's any plan that leaves out the Son of God. It's a work of the hands. And what does it say? It can't speak, can't hear, can't smell, can't feel, can't walk. And it goes even past not being able to speak. It says they can't even make a sound. Now here's a thought that I had in contrast. We're going to get more contrast in a little bit, but just to pause here, a little bit in contrast, these idols, they can't speak. They don't have a message. But let me ask you this. Is the voice of God heard around our world? Does God speak? Does God speak in our world? Now think about it for a minute. Who does God speak to through in our world? This isn't a trick question. I'm not setting you up. Well, when we speak God's truth, when we're not off somewhere on our own stuff, but when we're speaking God's truth, you see this great contrast? They can't even make a sound. But here, and how many millions of believers do you think there are in the world? Lots, right? Millions and millions. See the contrast? God's words going out. Millions and millions of voices. If we're authentic and sincere before God, if we're hearing God, if we're receiving his words, if we're not corrupting the transmission of his words, we're sharing those words. In contrast to the idols who can't even make a sound in their throat, and the people who worship them are becoming like them, in contrast to that, and they're hearing the words of God. I did hear some news, and I need to send it. It's brief, but I finally worked up the nerve, and just, I know this might sound silly. I don't know, maybe you can identify, to send an email to Robert and Judy. I haven't given you this update, have I? Does this sound familiar? Okay, because I'm always concerned. Terry, they are missionaries in a country, unnamed country in Africa, and you can't say it. They can't be exposed. You can't have certain things you can't say missionary, you can't say pray, you can't say God in any emails because their son actually got kicked out of the country because they searched their emails and everything looking. So I'm like, so I sent this and I did okay and I double checked it and I got just hours later I got back a response from Robert and he appreciated the concern. I told him that, oh, I can't remember how I put it, but I said, my friends and I, we think of you a lot. We think of you together and different things like that. And he wrote back and he said, you know, and I told him, I said, my concerns about being the one who might mess things up. He wrote back, you know, don't worry about it. And he sent me the guidelines again. So then I replied to his email thanks, you know, for being understanding, you know, I can't remember all I said. But then what I started keying in was I didn't want to be the one to sink the ship. Whoops. Probably don't want, you see what I'm saying? Probably don't want that in, you know, their detection software picks up sink and ship. Probably don't. I caught it before I sent that out. But the reason I'm bringing them up is here's a country where if someone, the wrong person heard, see, they can't go and they can't knock on a door. Even people visiting them, they have to wait until they feel like it's an appointment of God. You guys know, you heard them share. But yet when they do get an opportunity, here they can hear the words of God through Robert and Judy in this restrictive land where it's illegal. Illegal could get you in big trouble, get you out of the country on a plane like that, or worse. But here they are, these willing servants, and they can speak these words. Andy and JC last week, you know, they said they went, we're going to go minister to Italians, but they were ministering to Syrians, Libyans. I can't remember all the countries they named because this is what God brought them to. People who, their country, they wouldn't likely hear anything at all accurate about Christianity, about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So millions of voices, even in restricted areas, the voice of God is heard. That's like it's a holy calling to us as believers in Jesus Christ. We don't want to live in fear of it, but we sure do want to be diligent to make sure we get it right and accurately and correctly handle the word of truth. And boy, when we do that, though, back again, the contrast with the idols that they can't even make a sound in their throat, the people who worship them become like them, but the ones who worship the sovereign Lord, who to whom all glory belongs, his voice is heard. So we see in Romans 1, the creation shows, the heavens show his human redeemed creation. We express the words of God. Mockers may mock, but they expose the darkness of their foolish hearts by what they worship. We're familiar with it, but just before we get away from this section, if you turn to Romans 1, verses 21 to 23, For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. I'll just stop right there for a second. This is what I'm saying. We know what's going on. They don't know what's going on in their lives, but we do. See, they can appear to us. They can gain so much intellectual armor, you know, with one degree after another, or they can make themselves seem very impressive. But what we know about the mocker is that their wisdom quotient is not going up. The knowledge that they need, their pursuit of truth, is not getting closer and closer. It's going down. It tells us here they become futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts darkened. Claiming to be wise, and we see that, don't we? They become fools. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God. They worship idols. They pointed the finger at the children of Israel. Where's your God? They worship, exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. In the next verses back in Psalm 115, verse 9, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. Mockers may mock, but we will trust in the sovereign Lord who is worthy of all glory. Let them mock. Let them mock. Don't let it undermine your faith. They, no matter how impressive they may seem, no matter how together they may seem to have it, they don't. We know it. God's word tells us that. Mockers may mock, but we will trust in the sovereign Lord. And we let that deep and abiding in our lives. O Israel, and now it's the church, trust in the Lord. He will bless those who come to Him in reverence, who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. And the last section here, let's just stop for a second here. In verses 9 through 13, we said, well, they become what they worship. So let's ask ourselves the question, are we becoming what we worship? You follow what I'm saying? If our God is high and lifted up, and we're living, our reality that we're living, that we're not just expressing those thoughts, we're not drawing near with our lips, but we're keeping our hearts from God. But when we're speaking it with our lips and our hearts are near to God because we're living, we're doing the words, we're obeying Him. So then we are serving, and the reality of who God is, it penetrates more and more of our existence. His presence, we sense His presence more and more. His activity more and more in our lives. When it's like, so we proclaim that we worship God who's worthy of all glory. So are we doing that? And when we do that, then we more and more live as people who have a great God. You follow what I'm saying with that? We understand more and more His greatness. And it is strength, and it is nourishment, and it is comfort, it is instruction, it is correction to us. It is every good thing of God to us when we're living in the reality of who He is. They believe in idols, it takes them down. We believe in a God who is worthy of all glory, and it brings us up. The last four verses, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth He has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will, and here's one to hang on, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Mockers, go ahead and mock. Go ahead. Makes me think of Joshua, but for me and my household. Okay. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. And that's another thing that we have that the mockers don't have. They can sing the praises of their idols now. They can sing the praises of their false religion. They can make it sound really good and whatever, but the praise that we're doing, see, 1,000 years from now, we'll still be praising. 2,000 years from now, we'll still be bowing before the throne of King Jesus. And 10,000, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, there's no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That's what we have. See, so we can never let the mocking, the doubting undermine us. Do we have to be able to answer all their questions? No. That's silly of us. We're trying to answer every single question. We don't have to do that. If someone approaches us, like the second Peter, if someone comes and they ask for a reason for the hope within you, then of course we respond to that. But even that text, it doesn't say, when they come and they want an explanation for every single problem, and then we come up with these dumb things like, well, God can do anything, so can God create a rock that's so large he can't live, that he can't lift? It's like, don't even waste your time with those things. If a person's asking those kind of questions, they're probably really not that concerned. That hasn't hope that's stirred to them. It's just contention. They're trying to mock. They're trying to get you off keel. They're trying to get us back on our heels. Commit ourselves. And here's the opportunity that we have. It says, may the Lord give you increase. Verse 16, the heavens are the Lord's heavens. Now it said, verse 15, he made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heaven, but the earth he has given to the children of man. And I guess what we could take from that this evening in view of the entire psalm is the tremendous opportunity that we have. And honestly, folks, I think God is stirring that more and more in the hearts and minds of the believers of Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. The tremendous opportunity that we have, the stewardship. Yes, our lives are like a vapor that wish and they'll be gone, but the impact, eternal impact. And it just seems to me, from my perspective, that God is speaking to us more and more, getting our attention more and more, not just as individuals. As individuals it's good, but as a group. And as he's this tremendous opportunity, things that we can do as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that we cannot do on our own, not individually, and then as a group, and this dependence on God. And God has given us great, the earth he has given to the children. We have a time. This is our time to make an impact for the Lord of glory. And we should be praising God for every single opportunity that we have. Thrive on earth in the stewardship. He's going to insist on hanging on to that horn. Let God continue individually and as a group. Such a spirit in us. We are thriving in this stewardship of what we can do in the name of our God. Yes.
Pastor, we need to stay true to the Lord, because like you said, 1,000 years from now, 2,000 or whatever, we will be with the Lord in eternity, and they won't be there.
No.
Those scoffers will be gone.
Nope, they'll all gone. All gone.
And that's what happens. We always remember. We're with the Lord. We always will be with the Lord.
Well, see, and Daryl, and that gets back to, see, we've got, this is where we get all that information. They don't have this information. They could have, but they don't believe it. So they can't. That's what I'm saying. We never let them get us back on our heels, because we've got that information. We need to live that information. Let it be more real and real. And so this, we proclaim the glory of God. So let's live like we believe he truly is that high and holy, lifted up God, worthy of all glory. Anybody else? Yes.
Verse 4, idols, silver, gold, the work of man's hand. The idols have mouths but cannot speak. The workers have mouths and they can speak. Why is that? The idols have eyes but they cannot see. The workers who made the idols have eyes and they can see. Why is that? Because a different God created them than they are.
Got
creating
you. Okay. I understand now what
all,
you're saying.
All,
I remember looking for those other words, and I thought, he's using the New American Standard. I'm trying. Yeah. It's not clicking, is it?
Well, each one of those, they have created something that has this, but can't see. And yet they themselves,
their creator,
they have received all these things.
But because they don't give glory.
Right.
See, that's where the Romans. See, we've got the inside scoop. That's where they don't give God glory. You can see that as plain as the nose on the end of your face.
And they give glory to the half of the log that they make the idol out of, and they owe the other half of the log to cook their meals.
Well, what did the Romans passage say? They exchange the glory of the immortal God. So, yeah, very ironic, isn't it? That they can see their Creator made them, but what they're creating and worshiping, it can't see. They can see, they can talk, they can feel, they can smell. Tip, you got a word?
Yes. Last Sunday when the Johnsons was here, they made a statement that really stuck out to me. They said, they're over there in Italy. And they said, well, that's nothing special we've got. We're just here letting God work through us to you. And I thought that was great.
Well, that's what we do.
Yes, exactly.
And God will take that, and if we're obedient, whether it's right here, whether it's around the globe, we're obedient to that, God will develop us for His purpose. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day. Father, we want to be everything. Lord, this stewardship that we think of, this opportunity, Lord, that we can't really get our minds around it, comprehend it all, but we can some, Father, that You've given us tremendous opportunity. So help us to redeem the time. Help us to buy the moments. Help us to count in Your name that we can just have this overflowing joy, Lord, one day before You. We see that we got it. We served You. We got the picture of eternity, of Your grandness and Your glory. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
To finish that off, make yourself available to be used of God. That's what I would say.
Yep.
I like to work well.